Hi, this is Aislinn Antrim from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Study Break, a podcast series dedicated to pharmacy students. Each month, we speak with faculty, administrators, and students themselves to bring you the latest news and trends from pharmacy schools across the country. The pharmacy field is changing every day, and students are at the forefront of innovation. Before we begin, do you know the answer to this pharmacy fact? What type of illnesses were believed to be cured by the color green in the 1940s? Stay tuned to find out from Ashley Gallagher of Pharmacy Times. This month, I spoke with Ashley Lamb, a pharmacy student at the University of Charleston School of Pharmacy in West Virginia. In the fall edition of Pharmacy Careers, Lamb wrote an article along with some other students about how pharmacists and pharmacy students can be more environmentally conscious in their work. So Ashley, to get us started, can you just introduce yourself and tell the audience a bit about yourself?
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name's Ashley Lamb. I'm from the Baltimore, Maryland area, but I'm currently a fourth year pharmacy student at the University of Charleston School of Pharmacy in Charleston, West Virginia. And I am the co-founder of an organization called RX for Climate. And I'm also currently on the leadership board of a new initiative called the Planetary Health Report Card for Pharmacy.
I think environmental issues can often seem really distant or too big to do anything about on an individual level. Why should pharmacy students care about environmental issues?
Sure, it really can be overwhelming. And especially for me, when I first started out, I kind of regarded them as two separate entities, really environment as one and then pharmacy as the other. I didn't really see the connection. But it is important to think about the environment because the environment ultimately affects our patients' health, as well as our own health. But effects of climate change, like increased air pollution, increasing allergens, extreme heat, and then severe weather conditions all really impact human health. So for example, increased air pollution can trigger asthma and cardiovascular disease. Changes in ecology due to climate change can increase incidence of infectious diseases like Lyme disease, malaria, dengue fever, encephalitis, all those things that we don't want. And environmental degradation can cause forced migration, which has impacts on mental health. So aspects like that really show that there is a connection between pharmacy and the environment, which means that pharmacy students or pharmacists should really start to pay a little bit more attention to the environment because it does affect us more than we might think.
What are some environmental issues that are specifically relevant to the pharmacy field?
Sure. So all the things that I mentioned a little bit earlier, but I think it is important to think about it as kind of a cyclical relationship where the environment affects our health, but then our health and the healthcare system also affects the environment. So all the things that I listed before are kind of ways that the environment affects us, but pharmacy and the healthcare field affects the environment in terms of waste, I think is a good way to look at it. So the U.S. healthcare system's carbon footprint actually makes up about 8% of the overall U.S. carbon footprint, which is a much larger number than I had thought of. And of that 8%, the prescription drug sector accounts for about 14%. So overall, also, pharmaceutical emission intensity was about 55% higher than that of the automotive industry, which was a little bit shocking for me to read. Because I always thought that cars and trucks would have the bigger environmental impact. But really, I learned that pharmaceutical industry has an impact that's 55% higher. And on top of all that, U.S. healthcare facilities generate about 14,000 tons of waste daily. And of that, 20 to 25% of that is plastic. So it really is a cycle. But if we could minimize the way that we're impacting the environment, I think it would benefit us in the end.
It's time for a quick financial tip from Tim Ulbrich, founder of Your Financial Pharmacist. Financial stressors can take a toll on mental health, so this month we spoke about how to manage that.
Yeah. And first things first, when somebody graduates, there's what's known as a 6-month grace period. And this is the time period from graduation until when you actually start to make that first, you know, real student loan payment, if you will. And I often say it's anything but a gracious time period, because often for pharmacy student loans, that interest is continuing to accrue on your unsubsidized loans during that grace period. So we've got to be ready and we got to be intentional. And that intentionality is really important when it comes to student loans, because the federal student loan system, which I suspect for most that are listening, that's probably most of the student loans that you have or you will have, it is way more complicated than it needs to be, but that's the system that we've been dealt and we've got to get ready in terms of what we have that we're working with. And so there are multiple repayment options that are available in the federal system. There are income-driven repayment options. There are shorter and longer-term options. There's forgiveness clauses, a couple different ones that have different nuances. And then, of course, there's a host of options that are out in the private system through the process of refinancing, which opens the door to even more options to consider. And so in my experience individually and working with thousands of pharmacy graduates on this issue, the decision of which loan repayment plan you pursue, I kid you not, can be the difference of tens of thousands, and in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars, because of the nuances of time period, interest, and some of the forgiveness and non-forgiveness plans. So take home point there is for those that are graduating, making this transition, really understanding all of the options that are out there. I promise you it's a good investment of your time, as painful as it seems in the moment, and really making sure that you're defining and choosing that best repayment option and plan for your personal situation.
Now back to the show. Ashley, one of the recommendations in the article you wrote last fall was to promote sustainable prescribing. What is this and how does it compare to current or normal prescribing models?
So when you look at the current or normal prescribing model, you look at several different factors when you select the medication to recommend. So these factors can include safety, efficacy, simplicity, or pill burden, cost, all those things. So sustainable prescribing really just advocates for pharmacists to also consider environmental impact to that list of factors. Of course, we would always put the most weight on safety and efficacy, but if you have two agents that are equally safe and efficacious, maybe you as a pharmacist could recommend the more environmentally sustainable option. And that's all that sustainable prescribing is. So a concrete example of that would be a metered dose inhaler versus a dry powder inhaler. So a metered dose inhaler has a propellant in it, which is actually really terrible for the ozone. So if you have a patient that is okay with doing a dry powder inhaler or a metered dose inhaler, you could recommend the dry powdered inhaler just because it is safe, efficacious, cost effective, but it also is better for the environment.
Pharmacists can also empower their patients to be more eco-conscious. What are some ways that patients can be more environmentally friendly?
Sure. So as pharmacists, we really do have the privilege of being one of the healthcare professions that interacts with the community the most. I feel like there's a retail pharmacy on every corner, so it's really easy to find a pharmacist if you need one. So in terms of pharmacy, pharmacists and pharmacy students can counsel patients to dispose of their unused medications at disposal kiosks that are located at some pharmacies, which is part of the DEA's drug take-back program. I know at the retail pharmacy where I work, it's a big green bin, and you can just walk in, toss your unused meds in it, and then every week we hire someone to come and take them out of the bin, and they dispose of them in a more eco-friendly way so that it's not going in, like, flushed down the toilet, into the waterways, things like that. The DEA also has a drug take-back day event. I know my school served as a collection site in 2019, but you could go on the DEA's website just to see when Take Back Day is. And if you are not near a pharmacy with one of those kiosks, you could definitely take your unused meds to those sites. But also, just on a personal level, we can always encourage patients to make more eco-friendly lifestyle changes, like cutting down on meat and dairy consumption, which also has health benefits, but also things like utilizing reusable grocery bags or water bottles, recycling when possible, non-intimidating things like that.
Are there any organizations that pharmacy students can join if they want to get involved in these issues?
Sure. So one organization is called the Sustainable Pharmacy Project. And it was actually founded at the Virginia Commonwealth University School of Pharmacy. And they do a lot of great events, but the main purpose of their organization is to provide opportunities for pharmacy students to connect, collaborate, and then participate in those events with the hope that it inspires future pharmacists to lead the effort to reduce pharmaceutical waste. So that's one thing that you could get involved in. And then another organization is RX for Climate, which I mentioned a little bit earlier. It's an independent web-based community that I helped to co-found. And basically our goal or our mission is to support environmentally sustainable pharmacy practice and also to promote pharmacists' role in mitigating the impacts of climate change on human health. So we're really just a forum that will amplify the work of anyone in this space. I know it can kind of feel intimidating or maybe even lonely if you're working in this space. So really, we want to serve as a platform to make you feel like you're not alone. If you need manpower for any of your projects, definitely reach out and we would love to help you and amplify your work. You can check us out at rxforclimate.org or at Instagram at rxforclimate, and the four is the number four, not F-O-R. And then the last organization that I want to talk about is called the Planetary Health Report Card for Pharmacy. This one kind of requires a little bit of backstory, so just bear with me. But the Planetary Health Report Card was an initiative started by a medical student named Carly Hampshire. And she really wanted to encourage her medical school to start incorporating more environmental sustainability topics into its curriculum. So what she decided to do as a student is she created a standardized set of metrics, which she refers to as the report card. And she used these to evaluate her medical school against. And these metrics are things like, my curriculum addresses the manner in which climate change impacts the spread of infectious disease, or my university supports research in the environmental sustainability field. And she evaluated her school against those metrics. And then she also invited other medical students at other medical schools to evaluate their curricula. And on Earth Day, she publishes the results. So this is kind of a good idea because it allows us to share ideas or different ways that we could incorporate planetary health into our school curricula. Because sometimes you can identify that you want to make a change, but you might not know how. So this is a good place to pull ideas from. And then it also kind of introduces a competitive edge. You know, every school has their rival. So because there is a letter grade assigned, you definitely want to do better, get that A. So it is a way to drive change. The point of me telling you all that is because we have started the Planetary Health Report Card for pharmacy schools. And this is actually our pilot year. Right now, we're in the process of reading through all of our submissions, but we would love to have you join in the coming years. So if you want to create a team at your school and participate in next year's Pharmacy PHRC, you can reach out to us at pharmacyreportcard@outlook.com, and we'll set you up with all the resources and information that you need.
For pharmacy students specifically, one of the recommendations that you wrote in the article last fall was to share your mission and connect with others who are involved in environmental issues. So what is your mission and how did you get involved?
Sure. So I guess my mission is ultimately to see pharmacy become an industry that makes every effort to mitigate its effect on the environment. I know that's kind of a big goal, but I think it can be done definitely on the legislative side, but also just by changing the culture of pharmacy practice to include the environment and environmental considerations. And I think sustainable prescribing is one way that we can make that happen.
Is there anything you want to add?
I think the only thing that I wanted to add is just, I think it's easy to get overwhelmed, especially since climate change and environmental sustainability, those things are really huge topics. And especially as a student, you can kind of feel very small and maybe not as empowered, but just know that every little change that you make adds up, and it doesn't have to be an all or nothing thing. You know, if you forget your reusable water bottle one day, it's not the end of the world. Just you having it and using it more often than not is a good thing. So just don't get discouraged, stay motivated, and every little bit counts.
Did you figure out the answer to our pharmacy fun fact? If you said ailments of the pituitary glands, you're right. While working as a stage manager in India, Dinshaw Gadiali began to read about the potential of color therapy to cure disease. After emigrating to the United States,
He founded the Spectrochromo Institute, where students could learn how to attune the body's color waves. Color therapy was founded on the idea that every element presents one of seven prismatic colors. If a person is sick, then one of their colors is imbalanced, requiring the color to either need to be amplified or subdued. Thanks to changes and the lack of regulation, Gaudiali's ideas were able to survive past his death in 1966.
Thanks for listening to Study Break, a pharmacy-focused series. Tune in next month to hear more about the latest trends and issues for pharmacy students.